praise the Lord. Amen. I want to welcome our visitors this morning. And we're missing quite a few over here on the other side. And I was really expecting them to be here. And, let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer before we turn to the scripture this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that, Lord, that you have done for us, Lord, as we have heard the people singing, Lord, about how good you are, Lord, and all that you've given us, Lord. And Lord, truly, Father, we could never, Lord, express, Lord, how thankful we are. Lord, we ask for your guidance in this service now, dear God, in this part, Lord, and as we, Father, endeavored, Lord, to bring your word, Lord, that you've laid on our heart, and we ask, God, that you be with us, dear God, in the remainder part of this service, Lord, and I ask, God, for those that are not here this morning, Lord, you know, Lord, their need, Lord, and I pray, dear God, that those that will hear this message, Lord, through over the internet, Lord, later, Father, that you will, Lord, quicken it to them, and we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Turn me to Romans chapter 9. We'll read it verse 10. We're going to be continuing on with the election of God. Verse 10, and not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not him that willeth, nor him that runneth, but God that sheweth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might shew my power in thee, that thy my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? And if God willing to show his wrath and to make his power known endure with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. You may be seated. Excuse me. In our services on the election of God, we've covered a lot of ground that you're familiar with, scriptures and quotes and things that you're familiar with. But as we said, we've had a lot of new folks that are not as familiar with it as you are. And but it's always good to go back over these things. Let's go to Romans 8. Let's turn back to Romans 8. And we're seeing that the election of God is by foreknowledge. God knew who would and who wouldn't. He knew before either boy was born, Esau or Jacob, he knew what their desires would be. He knew what characteristics they would have. He knew what type of individual they would be. He knew what choices they would make. And it's because God knew which one belonged to him. And we'll see that as we go along here this morning. But look in verse 29 of chapter 8. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. So, God, we've got assurance he'll finish the work. Many times you look at yourself, you look at the reflection of yourself, and you think, well, maybe I'm not measuring up to where I should be. You will. Everyone that is called of God will, because it's not depending on what you're going to do. It's dependent on what he does. Amen. And what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? It is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, neither height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We are children of God. There's nothing can separate you from the love of God. There's nothing that you're going to go through and nothing you're going to do that will separate you from the love of God, because you belong to him. You're his children. He knew you before the foundation of the world and elected you. And, you know, there are those that have left the message over recent years, that one of the things they left the message over was, they said, we don't believe in there being an elite. We don't believe in election. Well, it's in the Bible. It's not words or terminology that we're making up, but we're just reading the scripture. And, you know, but I guess it's revealed to them who are the elect. And if they're not elect, then they won't be able to see it. It's just like there's many in the denominations that can't see predestination. And they say, well, that would mean somebody didn't even have a chance. No, God gives everybody a chance. And we see that in the scripture. Amen. And but those that are God's children, they're ordained, the Bible said, to eternal life. And we find in the book of Acts that it talks about those that Paul and Barnabas preached to, that when those of the Gentiles heard what they preached, they were glad, glorified the Lord. And it said, as many as were ordained them to eternal life, them believed. So, and also in Ephesians 2 and 10, if you want to write this down, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So God ordained you to walk in good works. And so it's not of your abilities or how good of a person you are, but God ordained you to be that. Amen. So a man, we said this, that a man said to Brother Branham one time, said, well, I don't care what you say, I don't believe it. And Brother Branham said, well, that's because it's not for you. It wasn't never meant for unbelievers. It was only meant for those that were ordained to believe, those that were ordained to eternal life. And the Bible tells us in the book of Jude, some were ordained to condemnation. And they turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. But the Bible also tells us that God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come, would come to God. But he knowed from the beginning, Brother Branham said, who would be saved and who wouldn't. And that's why he could say, Jacob I've loved and Esau have I hated, because he was God and he knew all things. And so then, you know, if a person isn't ordained to see it, well, there's nothing you can do to make them see it. And don't look down on somebody if they can't see it, if they weren't ordained to see it. But also remember that it's not, sometimes we think, well, it's a fine cutting line between saved and lost. But there are those that will be saved, but aren't elect to be in the bride. And so, you know, Brother Branham talked about silver dollars and quarters and nickels and dimes and pennies, and said, you know, Lot was a penny. Don't look down on him. He couldn't be anything but what he was. And so, you know, don't look down on somebody because they can't come up to what you believe. Why, you know, God's got an economy, and you don't throw your change away. Why, you know, you keep it. But there are those that Brother Branham said are ordained to life. Well, then they're the ones that'll see it. And those who can't see it, why? Well, they just weren't ordained to it. And it's all by the grace of God and by the election of God. It's not by how good of a person you are or how smart of a person you are. Had nothing to do with it. You receiving the revelation of God, it was given to you as a gift by the grace of God. That, you know, as the song says, he didn't have to open my eyes. He could have easily passed me by, because the age I was living in was blind and wretched and naked and poor. But he had mercy on us. Amen. And opened our eyes. You know, that we could even see in the scripture that it says about the Jews that there was a time of blinding for them that we might be able to see. Amen. And if you've got eternal life, why, it isn't something you received when you got saved. You always had eternal life, because anything that has eternal life means it's eternal. It couldn't have had a beginning. It had to always be, and you were in God's mind before the foundation of the world. As Jesus said, he that let you know that God loved you the way he loved him. And he said he loved him before the foundation of the world. So God loved you before the world was ever formed. And, you know, Moses, when he was born, why, all the gifts and abilities and the quality, it was already within him. Then it just took something to flash across that seed. And Brother Branham said, when you're born, that seed's already in you, the seed of God. That seed of God's not put in you by some preacher. It's not put in you by a prophet. No. It's put in you because you came from God. Amen. And you know, and that's scripture. Amen. Now turn with me to Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to go through some very basic things here. And because I believe that these things are foundations for seeing election and for seeing predestination, for seeing the children of God and there's children of the devil. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he said to the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, your eyes will be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called out unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord said to the woman, what is this thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. So we see that even according to scripture, it's very plain that the serpent, he didn't start out being like a snake crawling on the ground. Because if he'd have been like a snake crawling on the ground, and God said, I'm going to curse you from now on, you're going to crawl on your belly, and the snake would have said, I already do. But you know, those that can't see serpent seed, why, they you know, want to draw a picture of a snake in a tree talking to the woman. Well, you know, if you could believe a snake could talk, why is it hard to believe that the serpent actually had another form, and that here in the Bible, because of the curse of God, it changed his form? Why would that be hard to believe? And it goes on in verse 15 and said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. And see, before this, there was no enmity. In other words, the seeds could mix. And the germ of life that was in the male of the serpent could mix with the egg that was in the woman of the, you know. But it said, and between thy seed and her seed. So right here in the scripture, letting you know, the serpent had a seed. Amen. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. We know that was fulfilled and took place on Calvary.
Amen.
Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat thereof, curses the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Now, why all of a sudden, if it was an apple they ate, then why all of a sudden was God talking about her having children just because of eating an apple? Conception had happened. And then he says, thorns also and thistles shall bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou returnest to the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Now, nowhere in the Bible does it say that Adam was the father of all living. Now, let's go on to chapter 4, verse 1. And Adam knew his wife Eve. We all know what that means in the Bible. Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now, we know that it's scientifically possible for a woman to be with two different men in the same day and bring forth two different children from two different men. It's happened many times down through history. And so Brother Branham even talks about an instance where a woman was with a black man that morning and her husband that night, and brought forth two babies, twins, that 9 months later, and one was of one race and one was of the other race. So we see that it's possible. And that's what happened in this case. Adam knew his wife one time, and she bare a son to him, but it wasn't Cain. And it was Abel. And then it goes on to, and we see then that, you know, you are in the natural, you will show characteristics from your parents. You know, when I was a teenager, I didn't act so much like my dad, or there weren't so many characteristics seemingly come out from that would have been from my dad. But the older I've got, more of them around me that knew my dad said, well, you do this like him and you do that like him, and you know, you put your hands in your pockets like him, and you have looks on your face like him, and you stand the way he stood, and all these different things. Well, it wasn't that I stood around and studied my dad and said, I want to copy these things. You know, many times when you're a teenager, somebody says, you're going to be like your dad, and a lot of times you say, no, I'm not. But you can't help it. And one day, you know, as you get older, you'll wake up and you'll realize, my goodness, I'm my dad or I'm my mom. I'm just like them. And you can't help it. And because those characteristics will come out. And that's what happened with these two boys. The characteristics of their fathers came out in them. And that's what we're reading about here. And it says, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. Now, realize this. Brother Branham says that Cain and Abel, they were raised by Adam and Eve. And he said, Adam and Eve tried to cover up what had happened in the garden and why they got kicked out. Sure. Ain't that just like parents? They refrain from having the talk. And he said what Adam and Eve taught him was, and this is where this whole idea came from, that you see in the different groups of religion, is that Adam and Eve taught him, we ate fruit. And that's why Cain brought fruit and things for an offering to God, because that's what he'd been told. But Abel got a revelation. The Bible says by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain. And the prophets taught us that faith is a revelation. That it was by revelation that Abel knew what had took place, and that it was a blood offering that was needed. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock into the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou dost well, shalt thou not be accepted? So see, he gave Cain the same opportunity Abel had. And Brother Branham said, he said it this way. He said, if thou worship like your brother, I'll accept you. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. What sin? Unbelief. So if you won't worship like your brother, it's because you don't believe. And it said, unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Now, Adam wasn't a murderer. Adam didn't have those characteristics. Those characteristics didn't come from Adam. It came from the serpent. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened up her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. Now listen to this. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. All this coming from somebody who had just killed his own brother. Why, I know I killed him, but now what you're putting on me, that's greater than I can bear. That's just too much. You know, and that's the way we see them today. You know, they do something wrong, but then they end up in court and they're going to fine them or they're going to send them to jail or something. Oh, that's just too much for me. You do wrong, you're going to pay. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said to him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Why would God do that? Because Cain had a part to fulfill. Because Cain's seed, Cain's legacy, Cain's children had a part they were to fulfill, because God had spoken it when he said, I'll put enmity between thy seed and the seed of the woman, and he shall bruise thy head and you shall bruise his heel. So there was something to take place, which we know that was the betrayal of Jesus Christ and then the crucifixion thereof, which it led to. Turn me to 1 John chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that you should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Because of his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Adam was not, and had never been called anywhere in the scripture anything other than the Son of God. Adam was not the wicked one. So Cain couldn't have come from Adam. Cain had to come from the serpent. In the book of Jude, it speaks about people going after the way of Cain, which the way of Cain was stubborn about it. Even after it was presented to him the right way, Cain willfully said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do it. Even after God told him, this is the way, I'll accept it. Cain wouldn't do it. Instead, Cain said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll make you accept it my way, because I'll kill the one that was giving it to you the way you wanted it. In the in the midst of the seed of discrepancy, Brother Branham says, now we find when God sowed his seed in the Garden of Eden, we find out it brought forth an Abel. But when Satan sowed his seed of discrepancy, it brought forth a Cain. One brought forth a righteous one, one brought forth an unrighteous one. Because Eve listened to the words of discrepancy, contrary to the word of God. And it started the ball of sin rolling right there and has rolled ever since. And we'll never get it out until the angels come and segregates the thing and God takes his children to the kingdom and the tares will be burned. Notice these two vines. And if we just have more time on the subject but hit the high spots, notice their seeds grew up together just exactly like God said over here in the 13th chapter of Matthew. Let them grow together. And he's referring to the parable where Jesus said, when the tares sprang up among the wheat, said, what should we do? Shall we pull up the tares? Said, no, let them go together, lest while you're trying to pull up the tares, you uproot the wheat also. And you think, well, you know, you can see it in the natural, but in the spiritual, you know, if a preacher got up and just started, you know, God moved on me and just started calling and say, hey, you know what? You're a serpent seed. You're out of here. You know, you're a weed, you're a tare, you're out of here. Think what it would do to the wheat. Think what it would do to the other people. They would become discouraged. He's thinking, what, am I next? Who is he? You know, it's discouraging for you anyway when you have those that come in and they fellowship with you in the word, you know, and worship with you and that. And then you see them turn out and they go back out and they go into the world and you think, well, I thought they were one of us. And it turned out not to be. Now, Cain went, let's see. But they finally, the seeds grew up together just like God said in the 13th chapter of Matthew. But they finally came forth until both those seeds, the seed of discrepancy and the seed of God, put forth their genuine heads and wound up in Judas Iscariot and in Jesus Christ. For he was the seed of God. He was the beginning of the creation of God. He was nothing less than God. And Judas Iscariot was born, the son of perdition, come from hell and returned to hell. Jesus was the Son of God, the Word made manifest. Judas Iscariot, in his discrepancy, was the seed of the devil come to the world for deceit. And what made him manifest? The Word. Same thing. Amen. In the Ephesian church age, Brother Branham says, before Adam ever had carnal knowledge of Eve, the serpent had that knowledge ahead of him, and that one born of it was Cain. Cain was born of that wicked one, 1 John 3:12. And the Holy Spirit in John could not in one place call Adam the wicked one, for that is what he would have been if he had fathered Cain, and another place called Adam the son of God, which he was by creation. Amen. Cain turned out in the character like his father, a bringer of death, a murderer. His utter defiance of God when faced by the Almighty showed him to be absolutely unhuman-like in characteristics, seeming even to surpass any account we have in the scripture concerning the confrontation of Satan by God. But unto Cain and to his offspring, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment's greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me from the face of the earth this day. Amen. Oh, and goes on in the Ephesian church age to say, why did this have to be so? Why was it that the seed of the serpent must come this way? Man was created for God. Man was a temple of God, the place of God's rest. The Holy Spirit was man, the temple. Satan had known this all along. He also wanted to indwell in man even as God does, but God had reserved that to himself, that right. Satan could not do it. God alone appeared in human flesh. Satan could not do that. He doesn't have creative powers. The only way for Satan to accomplish what he wanted to do was to enter into the serpent in Eden, even as he entered in by evil spirits into the swine at Gadara. And God does not enter into animals, but Satan will and can and will to accomplish his ends. He could not have a child directly by Eve as God did by Mary. So he entered, because he couldn't create. So he entered into the serpent and beguiled Eve, and he seduced her. And by her did Satan have a child vicariously. Cain bore the full spiritual characteristics of Satan and the animalistic, sensual, fleshly characteristics of the serpent. No wonder the Holy Spirit said that Cain was of that wicked one, because he was. Amen. And you see then that that God then, there's children of God and there's children of the devil. And God, the children of God, they're elect and ordained to eternal life. But the children of the devil, they can't be ordained to eternal life. They can't be ordained to even see the word of God. They're not ordained to revelation of the word of God. But they're ordained, as the Bible says in the book of Jude, to condemnation. When you can see that there's children of God and children of the devil, then you can see predestination. You can see election. You can see being ordained. There's two seeds, as the Bible said. There was a seed of the serpent, then there was a seed of the woman. There was two seeds. The seed of the woman was what came from Adam, which would come down and become and be Jesus Christ. And the seed of the devil, then it came down and made itself manifest in Judas Iscariot. He come to church just like the other disciples. He worshiped just like the other disciples did. He said good things about Jesus just like the other disciples did. Jesus even said, "You've given me 12 and one of them is a devil." So Jesus even was saying that there was one was a child of the devil. And Brother Branham said in every gathering, said there's three kinds of believers. There's going to be the believer, and there's going to be the unbeliever, and there's going to be the make-believer. And the unbeliever, why, they won't stick around. But the make-believer, why, Judas Iscariot, why, he stuck around to the time that had to be born again. Then he couldn't go with that. When it come time to receive the Holy Ghost, why, he couldn't be there for that. And, you know, Judas Iscariot, you know, he was religious. And the children of the devil, just like Cain, they're religious. They'll come to worship. They have church just like everybody else does. But Jesus said they do worship in vain. Because why? They teach, instead of teaching the word, they teach the traditions of man. Hallelujah. Turn me to Colossians chapter 3. We have, over the past few services, we've mentioned many times about Cain and Abel. We've mentioned many times about Cain being of the serpent, Cain being of the wicked one, and I just wanted to show it scripturally, especially for new ones. I wanted to show it scripturally that it's something that's in the Bible. It isn't something just that Brother Branham made up. You know, I ran into an individual one time years ago in the Walmart. He was one of the vendors, and he was stocking the shelves with bread, and he saw my daughters with me and saw the way they were dressed, and he wanted to know what we believed. And it turned out he was United Pentecostal, and he wanted to know what we believed. And so I was talking to him about it, you know, and then I asked him, I said, have you ever heard of William Branham? He said, yeah, wasn't he the one that had that doctrine of serpent seed? You know, they're taught Brother Branham just made this stuff up himself. He had that doctrine of serpent seed. It's in the Bible. It's very clear and plain in the Bible. How could they ever think that Cain came from Adam? How could they ever think that two babies was born from eating apples? You know, they just don't want to accept, you know, that something of that nature could have happened. But, you know, Brother Branham said they look many times for the missing link between man and the animal kingdom. He said they won't find it because it's been hid because of the curse of God. The missing link is a serpent. And he changed form. And you know, how did he change form? Well, God just changed the molecular structure of the serpent when he cursed him, and he went from walking upright like a man to crawling on his belly like a snake. And that was his curse. And he said, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman. In other words, you won't be able to do this again. This will never happen again. And it's impossible for it to happen. God put enmity between them. Amen. But at that time, it could happen and did happen. Like I said, I don't know how they can believe a snake could talk, but couldn't believe that a serpent could be the closest thing to man and walk upright like a man, when the scripture is plain about the curse that was put upon him. And God changed the molecular, as I said, the molecular structure of the serpent to be walking upright like a man to crawling on his belly like a snake. And you know, one day, you know what happened to us when we took, man partook of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? It changed man. It said, in the day thou eat thereof, in that day you'll die. And in the Bible, it also says that one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and no man's ever lived to be 1,000 years old. Methuselah lived to be the longest. He was 900 and some years old when he died. He didn't make it to 1,000. No man's ever lived one day in the eyes of the Lord because that man partook of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Amen. What happened was, you know, man was created to live forever. If they hadn't have partook of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, why, man would never have died. Adam never would have died. He'd have lived forever. But because he did, he said, in the day that I eat thereof, that day you'll die. What happened was the molecules got rearranged in the body. And so the body that God had created from the dust of the earth, something happened to those 16 elements that made up the body, and it throwed it out of orbit, Brother Branham said. And he said, when it did, well then, it brought about death. From that day forward, man began to die. And you know, when you're born, you grow and you mature and you change and your bones grow and your flesh grows and molecules multiply. And then there reaches a time where all that process begins to slow down. And then, you know, there comes a time where then the molecules begin to die in man, and they don't replenish as quickly. And the older you get, the less they want to replenish, till eventually, finally, amen, you get old. And you die. Yeah.
But before death ever takes you from this earth, death has already gripped you. When you're about 25 years old, death's already gripped you. And from then on, it's all downhill. You look back at pictures when you was 25 and look at yourself today, I do, and I think, what in the world happened to me? What did you do? Didn't do anything. It's condemnation by representation. It's what Adam and Eve did in the beginning that brought about this death in man. But there's a part within inside of you that you're born with that is eternal. And it doesn't grow.
Amen.
And when there's coming a time when the molecules, the 16 elements of this body, they're going to have to change because the word said they would. That them who he's called, he justified. And them who he justified, them he also glorified. So you'll receive a glorified body, and it ain't a different body than the body you got. It's just that the molecule structure of the body is going to be changed. And it's going to go back to the way God had it originally. The way he created it. And you'll be a young man and a young woman again. In appearance. You know, people ask me, say, would you like to be young again? Yeah, but I don't want to be dumb again. When I was young, I wasn't too smart. I did a lot of dumb things. And so did all of you. You did a lot of things you wouldn't want to repeat. And I said, if I was turning young again, I want to go back with what I've got up here now. I don't want to go back through all the experiences of getting it again. It doesn't, you know, birthdays don't bother me. Getting old don't bother me. Because I know it's just this body getting old. The real me on the inside ain't a day older than the day it was created. It's eternal. It can't get older. Hallelujah. And one day the outside's going to match the inside. Hallelujah. You, Brother Branham said, you were born with the seed of God in you, and all it was waiting on was for the light of God to flash across it to bring it to life.
Amen.
There's some that preach that preachers put it in you, or the prophet put it in you, or it got put in you by the message. No. You always were. If you didn't have the seed of God in you, no way you'd ever seen this message. There's no way you'd ever heard the call, because the Bible said, my sheep know my voice. If you weren't born a sheep of God, you'd have never known his voice. Brother Ram said, you couldn't be born a dog or a pig and then later become a sheep. He said, if you're a sheep now, then you always were a sheep. You always were a son and daughter of God. You didn't become that when you got saved. You got saved because that's what you were. You couldn't help but get saved. God said in the Bible, said, I'll present to myself a glorious church. He's going to present it. He's the one that does this. He's the one that started the work. He's the one that's going to finish the work. You were in God. Brother Branham said in the Christ the mystery of God revealed, he said, you were in the back part of God's mind before the world was ever formed. It's wonderful to know that it wasn't dependent on your abilities, your good works, because ain't none of us good. The Bible said our righteousness is as filthy rags to God. There's not a one of us righteous. Any righteousness we have is because he was the righteous one. Amen. Praise the Lord. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, conspicuousness, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. So you see, there's children of disobedience. If there's one, there's got to be another. If there's children of disobedience, then there's got to be children of obedience. In which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. So there was a time when you walked in these ways. There was a time when you lived a life that looked like you was a child of the devil. There was a time when you might have lived like the devil. And there might have been a time when you lived like you was goody, 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 but you were just as bad as the rest of them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. So here, what I'm talking about here and showing this in the scripture is that seed of God came alive in you, and you put off the old man that done all these things of the world, lived that way, you put him off. And what you're putting on is the new man. Amen. You know, when you bury that old man, I don't want nobody digging him up. You always got people that want to dig the old man up. Remember when you used to do this? Remember when you used to do that? I don't want to remember them things. Believe me, Satan reminds me of them enough. I don't need nobody else trying to remind me of them. Satan tries to condemn you over that stuff. Satan, you know, he'll try to get your mind to wandering on those things and get you feeling so terrible and bad at yourself. But when you bury that old man, God takes and throws all them sins in the sea of God's forgetfulness. God don't see it. Why? Because he looks at you through the blood of Jesus Christ. And friends, there's coming a time when the memory of those sins and those things and those works of evil are going to be wiped from your mind too. They won't be in your memory no more. Amen. You know, the Bible said that those that die without Christ, said they'll come up in the body they went down in. It says this in Corinthians. They'll come up in the body they went down in. And they'll be judged according to the deeds they done in the body, the Bible said. But when you come up before God, the body you'll be standing in never done them things. Hallelujah. Why? Because we're going to be in a changed body. Said we're going to be changed. When the dead in Christ rise, we're going to be changed in the moment and twinkling of an eye. Amen. That's pretty fast. Amen. You ain't going to have to go through years of time like you did to get in the shape you look in now. In a moment and twinkling of an eye, there's going to be a change in you. In your outer appearance. Why? Because those molecules are going to go back in the right orbit. Brother Branham talks about us as our being like a solar system. And said they got knocked out of orbit. But they're going to go back into the right orbit. And then your body will be as eternal as you are. Hallelujah. Verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian or Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. There we see again, the elect of God. Holy and beloved, bowels of mercy and kindness and humbleness of mind, meekness and long suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Forgive one another. Don't go around digging up the old man's what I'm talking about. There's been a change in you. There's been a change in others. There's been a change, you know, and everyone that's ever come to God and accepted Christ as their Savior and been born again, there's been a change happen in them. And they've put off the old man and put on the new man. Don't go around talking about the old man no more to them. Don't go accusing them of the old man no more. You understanding me? Hallelujah. Forgive, forbearing, be long suffering. Amen. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Charity is love. You're to put on love for one another. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Amen. If you can't say what you're going to say in the name of Jesus, you don't need to be saying it. If you can't say to one another what you're saying, if you can't do it in the name of Jesus, then you don't need to be doing it. And I'm not talking about, you know, these people say, well, I'll take my fist to him in the name of Jesus. No, you won't. You can't do that in the name of Jesus. If you can't do it in the name of Jesus, you got no business doing it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. I was watching my time, and I don't like to go over an hour. I've sat in your seat. I've been out there, and I know what it's like to sit in that seat and have somebody go on and on and on and on and on. And even me being a preacher, I can only take so much. Only so much I can catch, you know. I can go on and on and on while I'm up here because I'm under an anointing. But I'll tell you what, the times I've went on and on and on and on, when I got done, I felt it afterwards after the anointing left me and I come back down to earth. Then I felt like I'd been run over by a truck. And, you know, Brother Branham talked about how he done that. And, you know, I have found that praying for people will take more out of you than preaching. Brother Branham said preaching, he said, you preach an hour is equal to 8 hours of hard work. And I'll tell you what, praying for people is equal to even more than that, because it takes virtue out of you. Amen. So I've been in your seat and I know what it's like. So that's why I don't like to preach over an hour. I've had people tell me I preach too short. They said, we come to get our money's worth. Well, I talk real fast to give you your money's worth in an hour. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful to have been here this morning, Lord, to hear your word. Lord, I thank again of those that are out today, Lord. I know Brother Phil had to travel, Lord, out to somewhere else to be. But Lord, there's others, Lord, and maybe perhaps they had to work. I don't know today, Father. I know some of them have to work sometimes on the weekends, dear God. And Lord, the jobs that they have, why they can't help it, Lord. But I pray, Lord, that, Lord, they'll listen to this service, Lord. There's many that I was hoping was going to be here this morning, Lord, when you laid this portion of it to go through this teaching on my heart, dear God.
And Lord, I pray, Lord, they'll get to hear it later, dear God, and it'll help and enlighten them, dear God. We've had a lot of new ones come in, dear God, that they ain't been around this their whole life. Some of them never even been raised in church. Lord, they need, Lord, the foundation set before them, Lord, where they can grow from, dear God. I pray, Lord, your blessings on the people today, Lord, and as they go their ways, Lord, and as they go about whatever things and plans they have for today, Lord, may you bless them, dear God, and be with them and keep them. Keep them till the appointed time that we shall return. We pray and ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.